Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Going hot in 3, 2, 1. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the TNT Open Forum, home of the Wave Guides podcast. This open forum is sponsored by South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Information regarding our organization can be found at www.voip.southcars.com. This SCAR server is made possible by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Mike, KB8ZGL, who is with us in the background tonight. So thank you, Mike, and we very much appreciate the use of this server. Because of this server, we are capable of gathering every week and having many wonderful nets. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time.
All right, hearing nothing on a long pause, let's get going.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Nora.
My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2, X-ray, Papa Lima. I'm located in Montreal, Canada, where the temperature tonight is minus 10 degrees Celsius. That's 14 degrees Fahrenheit, under cloudy skies. And they're calling for a few flurries over the next couple of days, which will be nice. Pleasant and very Christmas-like. A few announcements before we start. NCS and administrative people are needed, as well as worldwide hospitality people to act as South Cars ambassadors of goodwill. So if you got people skills or if you want to help out, give us a shout at voip@southcars.com. Also, the Lakeland Luncheon on Saturday, last Saturday, the 8th, was a great success and enjoyed by 62 people in attendance. So congratulations and thanks to everyone who participated. And at this time, I'd like to say hello to my special guest in studio, Megan McIsaac. Hello, Megan. How are you today?
Good.
Megan's just back from her Sparks meeting and has made a wonderful cutout. Just explain to us what you did today, Megan.
It's not a cutout.
What is it?
No,
it's foam. It's a little foam princess that she made with cowboy boots and a crown, and it's very pretty. Do you like it? Yes, she does. So thanks for coming in to visit tonight, Megan. You want to say hello to everyone?
Hi.
Well, it's Megan's bedtime now, and she's showing me some beautiful drawings that she always also made. You can't see them, but you can hear them. These are the drawings right here. So called rainbows, and they're very wonderful rainbows indeed.
Catching rainbows,
and that's what we did at Sparks today. Is that correct?
Yep.
And we learned about the color wheel. Well, isn't that wonderful? The color wheel is wonderful. The color wheel is something that I use every day at work. And you're going to learn to use it too now, aren't you?
I don't know how to use it, though.
Well, that's okay. We'll go over it.
I know.
How do you know?
It goes in a circle.
It goes in a circle? That's why it's a wheel, right?
Yeah. And what? It has some points to tell you what color to use.
And it has some points to tell you what color to use and which ones complement the other ones. Very good. Let's take a quick break before we time everything out. And now Megan's going to go have a drink of water, and she's going to say goodnight because it's her bedtime.
Good night.
Good night, and thank you for visiting. All right, well, that was an interesting little pause. Megan just back from Sparks, which is a division of the Girl Guides of Canada. The Sparks are the 5 to 7-year-olds, and good organization, and I encourage everyone to support it in any way that you can, even if it's just giving them a few bottles and cans when they have bottle drives. So where were we? The Lakeland Luncheon, yes, last Saturday was a great success, we said that, enjoyed by over 62 people in attendance, so that's wonderful. And the next luncheon is coming up on February 5th, 2011 in Valdosta, Georgia at the Old Time Country Buffet, the same location as last year. That's 1193 North St. Augustine Road off Exit 18. Interstate 75, obviously that's Interstate 75 in Georgia. Tailgate, eyeball QSOs in the parking lot till noon, and you go through the buffet line individually. Please communicate with Rick, ND4Z. If you plan to attend, you can let him know either on the air, HF on 7.251 on 40 meter. Obviously, if it's 7.251, it's 40 meter. You can email Rick at ND4Z at yahoo.com, And you can also reach him right here on the SCARS server, 96140, when he's connected. And you can reach him by phone. His phone number is available on the breaking news page of the South Cars website. That's voip.southcars.com. Each person who attends the Valdosta, Georgia Old Time Country Buffet Luncheon will receive a South Cars decal and a free membership card. We hope you attend in great numbers. All right, and also very exciting, this off the QRZ.com newsfeed, AMSAT area coordinator Clint Bradford, that's our very own Clint Bradford, K6LCS, South Cars number Echo 0923, will be presenting his Working Amateur Satellites with your 18... Oh my goodness, I'm having a hard time. Working Amateur Satellites with your HT. His session will be in February, on February 1st, 2011, at the meeting of the Murray State University Amateur Radio Club. All are welcome to attend. You might remember Clint gave the same presentation to us about a year ago. It's an excellent presentation, and if you're in the area, please, please, I encourage you to go check it out and say hi to Clint. MSUARC has been serving their region for 50 years, writes Clint, and he says, I'm really looking forward to meeting the group. Now, hey, wait a minute. Isn't Clint in California? What's he doing in Kentucky? I guess he's got too many freaking flyer miles.
Interruption by K6LCS.
Well, well, well. K6LCS, welcome aboard. Go ahead.
First of all, please say hi to Megan and tell her her drawings are wonderful. But as far as the VOIP sessions, I think South Cars was one of my first two or three VOIP sessions for this workshop. And, yeah, I'm out in Southern California, but what I do is prepare a custom slideshow for whomever. This time it's in Kentucky. They display the slideshow locally, and we use Skype, or in your case it was Echolink, to handle the audio. And I'd rather be there in person, but no, I don't have a bunch of frequent flyer miles. My wife is the one who goes to Tibet, and it's worked successfully in the past. And if you are interested in the session at your club, please go to this website, worksat.com. That's worksat.com. Worksat.com, and send me an email, and we can get this presentation at your club. Pete, you sound great. I miss being a SysOp net control operator over here. Thanks for the plug. I appreciate it. K6LCS in California, 73.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I very much enjoyed your presentation, as many of our patrons did, and it does work very well indeed. And we're more than happy to plug your endeavors in the ham radio community. Thanks for doing that. You are considered a satellite Elmer, as far as I'm concerned, in my book, and I think that's really, really cool. And yeah, I second the motion. If anybody wants Clint to do a presentation to your local club, that will be a great, great asset to your club, and I highly recommend it. And it does work well through Skype or through Echolink or any other VOIP or communications medium that you can figure out. So that, again, that's www.work-sat.com. I am a registered member of worksat.com. Clint was actually kind enough to post pictures of an antenna that I built, a small VHF reception antenna for working the satellites. I'm still working on the transmission antenna, Clint. I'm planning on building the tape measure, a Yagi, for transmitting and receiving. So that'll hopefully be done in the next few months. Now that it's a bit colder, I play in the shack a little bit more. So I congratulate you for the website, and I congratulate you for the work you do, and thanks for coming on and giving yourself a plug. That's what South Cars is all about. Back to you, Clint.
Oh, I've got nothing else. Pete, I appreciate it. I know Gordon's there in the background. Guys, I really miss this, and we'll talk later. K6LCS.
Well, we miss you too, Clint, but you are not forgotten. You're still on the roster, as you can see, and you'll be a member for life. So you're welcome to join us anytime. And, you know, the last few months, I probably am as guilty as anybody else of, as of not being able to play radio as often as I'd like to. And like many of us ham operators, have more than one hobby, and it's hard to find time to do everything. You know, we'd have to have 48 and 72-hour days. But we seem to manage, and that's all right. And our friends are always there and never forgotten. So it's kind of nice to have them pop in once in a while and say hi. So we're happy to do that. And any time that you do have an event of this nature, please let us know, and we'll be happy to give you a plug. Like I said, it's all a public service, and I'm happy to do it. So ladies and gentlemen, that was Clint, K6LCS, member of South Cars and operator of HTs to talk to satellites extraordinaire. So thanks for being there, Clint. Say hi to your lovely wife and to your many critters running around, and the only one whose name I remember is your pony Molnir. So hugs and kisses to everyone all around, and thanks for being there tonight. So with that, I'd also like to say a special thanks to a few entities around. Thanks to QRZ.com. They have been posting the new releases of our podcast. And also, I did a quick post today about the South Cars Net tonight. So maybe some of you are connected because of this post. Maybe you're just discovering the TNT Open Forum and the Waveguides podcast. And if so, welcome. QRZ, a very good, useful tool, but also a good service to the ham radio community. So I'd like to thank them for their support. Waveguides podcast, which we, as you guys know, we record the TNT Open Forum every week and turn it into a podcast that I've called the Waveguides podcast. And it's available via the VOIP.southcars.com website. There's a link on the left called TNT Podcast. If you want to go direct, if you're listening via podcast, you could also go to waveguides.ca, and that's the direct link, and you'll find all the episodes there. Two podcasts that I listen to regularly, Linux in the Ham Shack, very, very good podcast, just about that, Linux and ham radio. I mean, two great subjects, and these guys have managed to combine the two very successfully. I've been listening to their podcast for probably a little less than a year now, and it's probably because of them that I decided to go pretty much Linux throughout the house here. I only have one computer that's still on Windows. It's a laptop, and that's because I bought it that way. But all my other machines run Linux. So in episode 51, Richard KB5JBV and Russ K5TUF gave us a very nice review and a little bit of a critique and some hints and tips on how to improve our show. So if you guys are listening, thanks for the plug. I appreciate it. And I will be adding your link to my webpage shortly. I'm planning on creating a podcast that I listen to section. The other podcast that I listen to that mentioned us is Low SWR in episode 20. Brady, KD0BJS, and his dad Rich, KD0BJT, our father and son team who have a podcast that comes out every couple of weeks. Very entertaining, and it's a nice father and son team effort. I congratulate them. I very much enjoy their podcast as well. So those guys gave us a very nice mention. If you guys want to check that out, Linux in the Ham Shack, www.lhspodcast.info. And if you want to listen to Low SWR, that's www.lowswr.com. Also, we got a nice review and a blog spot article by Shortwave America. So that's shortwaveamerica.blogspot.com. Wrote an article about the launch of our podcast. Basically, it wasn't a positive or a negative one. They pretty much just printed the text that I'd sent them. But that's okay. It's free publicity, and we'll take it. So thanks to Shortwave America for doing that as well. All right, I'd like to say a quick hello to Michael, KD0CDQ, one of our co-hosts, who's with us tonight, of course. Gordon, net manager, KY6V, who's monitoring, and everybody else, regular or not regular, who's listening live or via podcast. So welcome tonight. Tonight we have a very full show, so I'm going to get going here. We're going to be talking about systematic troubleshooting and debugging. I thought we'd go a little bit more technical. It's been a while since we had some technical content, and after all, this is a ham radio show, so I figured we'd go technical. But first, there's a new feature that I'd like to introduce. I think every week, this is something that came to me a few weeks ago. I'd like to introduce a new feature called the Foreign Phrase of the Week. We are an international organization, South Cars, boasting over 10,600 members worldwide. And because we have worldwide coverage, because we have worldwide nets, the Pacific Coast Net, the Eurasia Connection, the Australia Connection. We have we're starting to have nets pretty much globally. I thought that I would introduce different ways to say different things in different languages, simple things. We're going to start with greetings to start in various languages, and I thought that would be useful for those of you who like to play HF and for those of you who like to play Echolink. Both have global reaches, so I thought that would be a good thing to do. And this week I decided to start with Russian greetings in the Russian language, and this is inspired by the Eurasia Net and Slav and his family, Julia and Serge, who are a family of NCSs, which is wonderful. So let me take a quick pause before I time out, and we'll start with this new feature. That last pause brought to you by cranberry juice, which is what I'm drinking tonight. Cranberry juice is really yummy. All right, the most simple greeting that you could use in the Russian language, the most basic informal way to greet someone is pronounced privet. You say privet. Basically, the informal greeting amounts to the English hi. That's privet. The most common way to say hello in a more formal way would be strastvuyte. Strastvuyte. And that literal translation would be healthy, but it's equivalent to hello in English. Russians don't say good day. I thought this was kind of interesting. They say kind day, but essentially as a greeting it means the same thing as when we say good day. And the word for that is dobry. Dobry meaning kind day, and we would translate it as good day. You could also combine dobry with the different words for morning, afternoon, and evening. So in the morning, you would greet someone by saying, Dobre utra. Dobre utra. In the afternoon, you would greet someone by saying, Dobre dien. Dobre dien. In the evening, you would say, Dobre vechir. Dobre vechir. And, of course, the opposite to that would be ways to say goodbye. There's two ways to say goodbye. The more formal goodbye, which would be das vidanya, which everyone's heard, das vidanya. And you could just say bye, and bye is pronounced paka, paka. So there you go. The next time you guys check in on the Eurasia Connection, you'll be able to greet Slav, Julia, or Serge by saying either privet, or you could wow them with strasvuyte, or they actually, the net is in the afternoon here, but for them it's in the evening, so you could greet them by saying Dobre vechir. And there you go, you're on your way to speaking Russian. At this time, I'd like to open the mics and see if anybody would like to check in with questions, comments, anything you'd like to say. Also, at the beginning, I forgot to mention if there's anybody who's celebrating a birthday this week, you guys are also more than welcome to come in and say hello. My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum and the Wave Guides podcast, and the mics are open. Welcome aboard. All right, hearing nothing on a long pause, I just noticed that Craig, WE2Q, another one of our esteemed co-hosts, just snuck in. So hello to you, Craig, and welcome. Glad to have you aboard. And let's get started with our program. So tonight I decided to do, like I said, a little bit more of a technical theme. We're going to do systematic troubleshooting and debugging. And this was actually inspired by yet another podcast that I listened to, the one that started it all. It's called Solder Smoke. I invite you guys to check it out, www.soldersmoke.com, hosted by Bill Mira, N2CQR, who is a globe-trotting podcaster. And he actually read the Self-Repair Manifesto on his podcast a couple of weeks ago, googled it and found it. It's readily available on the net. Check out Self Repair Manifesto if you want to Google it right away, or it'll be in the show notes of the podcast as well if you want to check it out there. But I thought this was very, very, very good, very interesting, and leads us right into the troubleshooting we're going to be talking about. So basically, it goes like this: we hold these truths to be self-evident. Repair is better than recycling. Making our things last longer is both more efficient and more cost-effective than mining them for raw material. Repair saves the planet. Earth has limited resources, where we can't run a linear manufacturing process forever. The best way to be efficient is to reuse what we already have. I'm seeing some parallels from last week's episode here. Repair saves you money, and don't we all like to save money? Fixing things is often free and usually cheaper than replacing them. Doing the repair yourself saves serious dough. Repair teaches engineering. The best way to find out how something works is to take it apart. If you can't put it back together, well, at least you'll know what it looks like inside. If you can't fix it, you don't own it. Repair connects people and devices, creating bonds that transcend consumption. Self-repair is sustainable. Repair connects you with your things. Repair empowers and emboldens individuals. Repair transforms consumers into contributors. Repair inspires pride and ownership. Repair injects soul and makes things unique. Repair is independence. Repair requires creativity. Repair is green. Repair is joyful. Repair is necessary for understanding our things. Repair saves money and resources. And it ends with, we have the right to open and repair our things without voiding the warranty. We have the right to devices that can be opened. We have the right to error codes and wiring diagrams, to troubleshoot instructions and flowcharts, to repair documentation for everything. That kind of leads us to open source. We have the right to choose our own repair technician, to remove do not remove stickers. I like that one specifically. We have the right to repair things in the privacy of our own homes, to replace any and all consumables ourselves. We have the right to hardware that doesn't require proprietary tools to repair. And we have the right to available, reasonably priced service parts. And that's brought to you by the fine folks at iFixit.com. All right, so systematic troubleshooting and debugging. I ran across this article quite by accident via www.troubleshooters.com and read through it real quick, and my goodness, it was one of the most comprehensive and complete troubleshooting guides I'd seen. Of course, it's a very general troubleshooting guide and can be applied to everything from fixing your HF rig to troubleshooting your donut recipe. It's a global troubleshooting and debugging technique which can work for everything. So it's a 10-step program, not a 12-step, but a 10-step program. And we'll begin after this short pause. Before I begin, I'll start by identifying. My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum and the Waveguides podcast. That's my cranberry juice. And this time I'd like to see if there's anybody like to check in to our net. Welcome aboard. All right, well, hearing nothing at this time, let's get to it. Step one in troubleshooting is preparation. Every human activity requires preparation. In troubleshooting, one must prepare his tools. You got to prepare your work area, your documentation, and most importantly, you got to prepare your attitude. Troubleshooting, as in any other human endeavor, you must have the right attitude to succeed. You can solve it. It's not magical. There's always an explanation. Don't try to fix it. Just try to narrow it down. Don't panic. Don't get mad. Be patient and don't skip steps. Practice teamwork. When you get into a bind, you just ask yourself, how can I narrow it down one more time? If you're in a bind, devise a distinction finding matrix involving is and is not questions. We'll get to that in a further step. The best way to get and maintain the attitude is to remember it is a mathematical certainty that you will solve any reproducible problem in a system for which you have knowledge or system documentation. Knowledge is a given. System documentation will give you the knowledge that you lack. We'll see why it's a mathematical certainty in step six. Above all, you remember that your troubleshooting's power comes from your troubleshooting process and from your own mind. Your mind I can't control yet, but the troubleshooting process we're sharing with you guys as we speak. Step two, make a damage control plan. So before you do anything that could cause damage, which would further your repairs, you got to determine the appropriate precautions. In no case should corrective maintenance be done before determining the proper precautions, ever. The sooner a damage plan is made, the safer. Unless you have good reason to do otherwise, make this step two. The following are some examples. This list, by the way, is in no way comprehensive, and you and only you are responsible for safety and damage control. Safety precautions prevent injury to people. Always wear appropriate clothing. That includes your PPE, your personal protective equipment. No long hair. No jewelry with machinery. If you have long hair, that doesn't mean you should cut it off, but tie it up, put it in a net, etc. Your jewelry should be taken off. Necklaces that hang, you know, from your neck. Rings on your fingers. You might not think about it, but they can get jammed in machinery. Rings can crush fingers. Rings can arc and give you a shock. Not a good thing to wear jewelry if you're a techie type person who likes to stick his fingers and stuff. Always wear appropriate eye and ear protection if there's a risk, and make sure that you're not creating a fire or explosion hazard. Always limit the current if possible. Always screen incoming materials to prevent damage where appropriate. This is more for a mechanical type repair. Never remove fuses without limiting current in another way. Never jump fuses. Take any precautions, including diagrams, photos, etc., to assure correct reassembly. And always back up if you're talking about a computer or any software-based system. Make sure that you back up any programs and OSs, operating systems in question. Also, do a data backup, including configuration, if need be. And also, product precaution will prevent loss of product in the production line if your system that you're troubleshooting is in a manufacturing setting. Make sure that you back up anything that's at risk in automated systems. Always limit the number of parts entering a malfunctioning machine. I mean, if you have to stick one in to recreate the problem, so be it. But try to limit that. And if it's practical, feed the malfunctioning machine with scrap parts. Step number three. Get the symptom descriptions. Can't fix it if you don't know what's wrong with it. The system description must be complete, must be accurate. The more detailed the system description, the less work you'll need to do. If you need to call in a specialist, a complete and accurate system description will ensure the quickest and most accurate solution. So if you can't fix it yourself, you call somebody in. The more completely that you can describe the problem, the easier it will be for that person to fix it, which means a more efficient fix and costing you less money in the long run. Good description will minimize the risk of fixing the wrong problem and will help determine the facts if there's a suspicion that you made the problem worse. Here's some of the information that could go into a quick and accurate system description. Again, this list is in no way complete, but it's actually pretty complete, and this will give you a good basis. Always start with today's date, on because this will be end up as a report as well. It's always a good idea to keep track of any repairs and the maintenance issues that you have with equipment, whether in a professional setting or in a personal setting. Even if it's just in your shack, it's a good idea to know what's going on and the types of problems that you may have had last year or the year before. You know, you might forget, especially in a shack where you might have 6 or 7 radios. You might not remember which one you changed CAT C22 on a year and a half ago, you know. Or you might. Who knows? So the questions. Today's date. Your name, your contact information, including email, phone, and your snail mail, if you wish to include that. Your relationship to the equipment, whether you're the user, the owner, neither if you're reporting for other. You could be a maintenance person. If you're not the user, who is the user? Give that person's contact information as well as the owner if you're not the owner, because quite often if there's a monetary decision to be made, well, that will have to be made by the owner if you're simply maintaining the equipment. As far as the equipment and the system goes, you need to write down the make, the model, the age of the system and its configuration, any peripheral equipment that's pertinent, and the operating system if it's relevant, and what the system is used for. General questions can include what indicates to you that there's a problem, and you can describe any error messages you like that you're getting. Sorry, indicator lights, blinking lights, other information that the machine may be giving you. Is there a procedure to consistently reproduce the symptom? If the answer is yes, the problem is said to be reproducible. If the answer is no, and you guessed it because you've all had this, the problem is said to be intermittent. Yes, the dreaded intermittent problem. If it's reproducible, please describe the procedure you use to reproduce the symptom. How can you make the symptom go away? So these are the two things that you can do if it's reproducible, which makes it a little bit easier. If your problem is intermittent, you'll want to jot down, how often does the symptom happen? What seems to make it more frequent? What seems to make it less frequent? And what seems to make it temporarily go away, if applicable? And other possible related symptoms that you might want to describe. Describe other related symptoms, other oddities that you've noticed. Even if you don't think it's related, but it's not normal, it could be caused by the same problem. Especially in software-related stuff, where you might not exactly know why it's doing something, but it's also causing something else. You can also jot down what other machines, components, or software might be involved. And did these symptoms or oddities appear around the same time? Were any other machines, components, or software added around that same time? And is there any other equipment in the office that has the same problem? First occurrences question will include when did it start happening? What else happened around that time? And was there any installations or configuration changes done around that time? If you have a problem that starts after an installation or a configuration change, 9 times out of 10, it's because of something that you may have done inadvertently. If you have a change and then you have a problem afterwards, it's quite possible that it happened because of that. All right, distinction questions. So you want to ask who, what, where, when, and to what extent. Basically, the 5 W's. Well, some of the 5 W's. Distinction questions are not strictly necessary, but in tough repairs, they can speed up your troubleshooting. They're especially important when the cost of diagnostic testing arises or when downtime is costing you a whole lot of money. In the case of insufficient test points, hard-to-reach test points, if safety concern is dictating approval of diagnostic strategies, if it's costly, if it's inaccessible, if it's requiring test equipment you don't have, you might want to ask these extra questions. Obtaining this information and mentally exploiting the differences can greatly narrow the list of hypotheses without performing costly diagnostic tests. So, these questions are, who has observed these symptoms and who has not? Which systems have these symptoms and which don't? Which systems are malfunctioning and which systems are not? In what location has this occurred and in what location has it not occurred? When did it occur and when does it not occur? How quickly does the symptom show up after power-up? At what system age did the system occur and at what age did it not? And how massive is the failure or how massive or minor could it have been? It's vitally important, however, that whatever hypotheses you arrive at, no matter how ironclad it seems, that hypotheses must be tested. To do otherwise invites second calls, and the problem could get out of control. So step four, if you can, reproduce the symptom. You can't fix it if you can't see it. If you haven't reproduced the problem, you can't toggle it on and off to narrow down the scope and to determine the quality of the fix. Reproducing the problem prevents unfair accusations that you made the problem worse. Of course, as we all know, this isn't always possible or easy to do. Step five, do the appropriate corrective maintenance. We've all felt stupid after spending hours narrowing down a problem to something that should have been a simple matter of corrective maintenance. The trick is to determine what is appropriate corrective maintenance and what is not. A specific action is appropriate corrective maintenance if one, policies are in place saying that it must be done, and at which intervals. Basically, if your boss or a manufacturer tells you you got to do something, if your boss says it, you probably should do it if you don't want to get fired. If your manufacturer says it, well, the manufacturer knows their machines, so I recommend that you follow their maintenance procedures. Specific action is appropriate corrective maintenance, continuing if it's likely to cause a problem. If it's easy to do, and if it's a maintenance item, then it's recommended that it be done. If it's a possible cause, a not too difficult maintenance item, and if the problem is intermittent, sometimes all you can do is maintenance. If you have a problem, it's intermittent, and you can't reproduce it in a fashion that lets you correct the problem right away. Do the appropriate maintenance. Sometimes simply doing the maintenance, doing a cleanup, you know, cleaning contacts, etc., makes the problem go away. Sometimes it's the only economical or practical solution that you have. You know, the fabulous arch nemesis of the troubleshooter, the intermittent problem. Don't we love it all? All right, well, we're halfway through the 10 steps. My name is Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima. You're listening to the Waveguides podcast and the TNT Open Forum. And let's open up the mic, see if anybody has anything they'd like to say at this time. Welcome aboard. If you'd like to chime in, please do so.
Six, Victor.
You.
Well, welcome aboard, gentlemen. WE2Q standby. Welcome aboard KY6V. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pete. And hi, Greg. Take a look at the text box when you have a chance, sir. You had me smiling, Pete. I just had to mention that I worked for a guy one time. You know, I'm a retired broadcaster, and he said, "Gordon, don't fix it if it isn't broken." Wise words. Back to you, Pete. KY6V.
Wise words indeed. Wise words indeed. Although I've heard the opposite too. You know, if it's working, break it. Just so you could learn how to fix it. But if it's working, leave it alone. I agree. But we're ham radio operators. We like to tinker. Those are wise words, but how many of us actually listen to those wise words? Thanks for the comment, and we'll jump right over to Craig, WE2Q. Welcome, Craig. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Pete. It's a pleasure being here, as always. You do a great job. And something you just said spurred another comment. Ham radio operators, I think we're happier when it's broken for some reason. But I just wanted to interject. I don't know if this is the appropriate point to do it or not, but in any troubleshooting, I like to tell the fellows that have worked for me in the past that don't go into the troubleshooting scenario or process with a preconceived idea as to what the problem is. Many times you'll think you'll know what the answer is, and you'll work towards your diagnostics, or work your diagnostics towards that end, and many times you'll find you're wrong, and you've just wasted time following an illogical process. Always start from the top-down logical process and follow it where it leads you. Sometimes you'll be very surprised where the real problem lies.
Very good, very good. More wise words indeed. Yeah, don't go in with any preconceived notion. That's the mantra of any investigator. I mean, you guys probably watch CSI. How could you not watch CSI? I think it's on like 17 times a week on every network. I say that jokingly. I actually think it's a pretty good show for the most part. But, you know, they say the same thing. Don't go in with any preconceived notions. You know, you got to clear your mind. But, of course, we're humans and we're biased. And, you know, sometimes we think we know it all. And sometimes we do that. And sometimes it bites us. And experience is usually the best teacher. You know, these are, I think when you're young, you're a little bit more gung-ho and you tend to do that. And as you go on and as you've been bitten a few times, I think you tend to wisen up. But that's very good. Thank you very much. You got anything else that you'd like to add? And yeah, you can interject, by the way. Interject any time. I leave relatively long pauses in between when I break. So if you guys have anything to add, please do so. I welcome your comments, your tips and tricks. This is by no means a complete guide. It's really just an overview. So anybody who's got experience in troubleshooting, you can certainly teach me something. So you're more than welcome to interject at any time. Anything else you'd like to add to that comment, Mr. Craig?
No, I think that covered what I wanted to say. Many times I've seen a preconceived idea will lead you down the wrong path. And doing a great job. I'll just stand by and listen in.
All right. I noticed in the text boxes that KY6V has a comment, but perhaps that was your last comment, and I'm just looking at the text box now. But do you have anything to add, Gordon, KY6V?
Yeah, thanks, Pete. KY6V here. Nice comment, Greg. Thanks for sharing that. You know, another thing that I've found, Pete, that people should think about, I've found it's worked very well for me. As long as I've been in this type of business, you run into some really sticky problems from time to time. And you work and you work and you work on it, and you can't find the fundamental fault. What I have learned is that after you've spent 2 or 3 hours on it, and you're getting frustrated, your anxiety level is at top notch, just walk away from it. I'd get in the car, go down to the corner haberdashery, have a cup of coffee, relax, come back, and you find out that your subconscious has been working on this problem while you're trying to relax and get away from it. You walk back, you look at the equipment, and you immediately go to the problem. And it works almost every time, Pete. KY6V, over.
Yeah, very good, very good. You think much better with a clear mind and a fresh mind, and that's another good tip indeed. That wasn't in my list, so that's what I mean about these tips and tricks that you learn with experience as time goes on. So great. Well, thanks for interjecting, gentlemen. Do so at any time. This is a good opportunity halfway to also have a second visitor in the in studio, what I'm calling Studio X now. I have two shacks, and I refer to both of them as my shack. I have a traditional shack, which is actually my little barn in the backyard, my mini barn, as my cousins call it, the baby barn. And we have, it's actually just a shed that's shaped like a barn, but I like to call it my barn. And I have a couple of radios in there, really old things from the 70s that have been lying around, and I figured instead of leaving them lying around, I threw them into the shed, and I have a real traditional shack. And I was also calling the office shack the shack, but I think I'm going to call this Studio X. The X just came from X-Ray Papalima, because I'm not clever enough to think of a clever name. Maybe Isabel can help me, but in Studio X with me live is Isabel Landry, the future Victor Echo 2 India Zulu Yankee, freshly back from Girl Guides of Canada. Come on over to the mic and say hi, Isabel.
Hi.
Welcome with us. How was your night at Guides?
Good.
What did you do?
Played a game.
Played a game? What game?
Polar bears and birdies of fish and Inuits. And Inuits have to try to get past the polar bears and get the fish and bring them back to their igloos before the polar bears turn them into polar bear food.
Well, that almost sounds like real life in the Arctic, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, very good. Did you have fun?
Yep.
Excellent. So Isabel coming in to say a quick hello. And Isabel is past her bedtime, so she's going to have to go lie down. Are you past your bedtime? Oh, you're way past your bedtime. You're 50 minutes past your bedtime. What's a good name?
Radio Shack 1.
Radio Shack 1. Well, we could do that. Radio Shack 1 and the Baby Barn Shack. We do that too, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll say goodnight to Isabel. Say goodnight to all the kind folks.
Good night, good morning, and good afternoon.
Very good. Isabel, very much aware of the time zones. So we learned how to say that in Russian earlier. Good night, good evening, and good afternoon. So we're going to say good night. We're going to say Dobre vechir.
Dobre
vechir. Very good. So Dobre vechir, Isabel.
And everybody goes to bed.
And then we'll say Do svidaniya, which means bye-bye.
Do svidaniya.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for coming in. All right, does anybody else want to chime in before we continue with the second half of the list? My name's Pete, V2XPL. Welcome aboard.
This is KD0CDQ.
Isabel's mad at me now because her mom came and got her, and she thought I said that she could stay. But I told her she could stay until her mom came, and her mom came and got her. She doesn't want to go to bed. Welcome aboard, Michael. Thanks for being here tonight. Michael, KD0CDQ. I think we lost Michael because I don't see his name on the list anymore. And then we just heard the ID again. So now I'm starting to think that maybe I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing. And yeah, I know Michael's not there anymore. So we'll wait till he reconnects and we'll call on him again. All right, just making sure that I have it there. And let's continue. I'll keep an eye out for Michael CDQ, see if he comes back, and we'll pick him up in between steps. So step number six, narrowing it down, divide and conquer. And this is where the math comes in for all you math geeks, me being probably the biggest math geek that I know. That doesn't mean I'm really that great at it. I just love it. Mathematics, mathematics tells us the fastest way to find a single element in an ordered set is, yes, you guessed it, the binary search. Why? Because the binary search is the process of repeatedly ruling out half of the remaining search area until the element's found. What makes the system you're troubleshooting an ordered set is your knowledge. Reinforced by the manuals and the documentation, of course. You can probably repair stuff without a manual. I don't recommend it. Unless you know the system inside out, maybe you designed it, maybe you've been working on the same system forever. But if you're troubleshooting different types of systems, I really recommend you get the documentation for it, because most systems are quite complex and you just can't know everything. Like I said, unless you're very ultra-specialized, get the manuals if you can. So that knowledge will allow you to devise tests to split the search area in half. This technique really shows its power in systems of several hundred thousand components. For instance, a binary search could find a single component in a system of 1,048,576 components. That's a moderately sized automated system, for example. You could rule out in 20 tests. You could figure that out. Single component in 20 tests out of 1,048,576. So you have to admit, that's pretty efficient. Implicit in all this is that you keep narrowing it down. Whether binary or not, whatever your system, as long as you don't repeatedly double back in areas you've already tested, it's a mathematical certainty that you're eventually going to solve your problems. So moving right along, step number 7, we're almost getting there. After you've figured out what your limitations are, after you've narrowed it down, it's time to repair or replace the defective component. Not a whole lot to say here. Use the right tools for the right job. Use the right procedures for the right job. Follow the procedures in the manual. Remember how it came apart so you know how to put it back together. A good tip and trick that I've used in the past, this was taught to me by a technician in one of my old jobs. He used to come and borrow the digital camera all the time, and he'd take pictures of stuff as he was taking them apart. And that way he knew where things went, put them together. In the age of digital photography, what a great tool you have right there. So if you don't remember where that particular part went, take a picture of it, and it's easy to put it back together after. Step number 8, after you've done the repair, it's time to test. Testing is the best predictor of customer satisfaction. The system you obtained in step 2 is reproduced in step 4. It's now gone. No new problems are occurring. It's likely that your customer will be happy. If the equipment is yours, well, then you're the customer and you'll be happy. Most customer relations horror stories occur when testing was inadequate or non-existent, and we've all had that experience. So if you're that person, when you are testing, you got to ask yourself these 4 quality control questions. Most importantly, did the symptom go away? Secondly, did the right system go away? Thirdly, did I fix the right cause? And fourthly, did I create any other problems? So much of the testing may be done while the system is partially disassembled, of course. You want to, if it's possible, test as you go. But it's vitally, vitally important that you do final testing after it's all buttoned up. Because you never know, it might work when you got it all apart on the bench, but then when you put something back together, for some reason, it might stop. So once it's all buttoned up, once it's all back together, make sure that you test, and test again. Special testing if you have an intermittent problem, the dreaded intermittent problem, because they occur randomly and they sometimes can't be forced to occur by a specific procedure, you can't always be certain if the symptom went away. Why it's vital to reproduce the symptom if you can. Always record how often it happens and what situation tend to increase its probability. However, an ideal world, you'd have a place where you can test an intermittent system without disrupting other work. A place where you can kind of set up your system and run it for hours, days, or weeks on end until the system is reproducible. Unfortunately, that's not always possible. Sometimes it's just not practical, and sometimes you got to deal with time constraints, parts constraints. Basically, you make do with what you have, test, and test again. Step number 9, this is another important step. Take pride in your work. The other steps have fixed the problem. This step number 9, will keep you in shape. Troubleshooting is an intense mental effort. Don't think it's not. Working your mind, you can be just as exhausting as physically working your body. So, of course, it must be done unemotionally, which adds to that effort. And you can't keep it up for long without a break. And that's what Gordon was saying. If you find that you're getting emotionally involved, step back, move away, get out of the house, get out of the shop, go for a coffee. I was going to say go for a smoke, but don't do that because that's really horrible for your health. Go for a coffee, go for some fresh air, go for a walk. And then when you come back, you've got a clear mind. But after you have fixed it, take pride in your solution. Take pride in what you've done and the efforts you've done. And after each solution, be proud of what you've done. The quote from the article goes, "So, you finally nailed the tough problem you've been tracking. Okay, now it's time for emotion. Take pride in what you just did. Gloat. Gloat over how you beat the problem that was trying to beat you. Savor the victory. Go over in your mind every step of the way of the victory. Review the course of the troubleshoot. Review where you were brilliant and review where you could have done better. Most importantly, brag to your friends and coworkers. Troubleshooters burn out at a frightening rate. So this step, taking pride in what you've done, is the best defense against burnout. And last but not least, prevent further occurrences. How do you do that? By taking these appropriate action. Always give the customer or user the care instructions. Often the customer or user inadvertently did something that caused the problem. By tactfully giving him or her instructions on how to avoid repeated problems, the customer will perceive a better level of service and you'll free up time that you could have done something else with. If you don't have to keep coming back and repairing it over and over again, by simply instructing the person using the equipment how to use it properly and how to maintain it properly, you have more time to do other things. Always tell your coworkers. That kind of comes under the gloating section, but also while you're gloating, share your findings with your coworkers because you can save them hours of troubleshooting similar problems. Additionally, it's part of the take pride step, like I said, gloating. And very, very important also, and I mentioned this at the beginning, document the system, document the description, and document the repair procedure. Some shops have databases. Some people have notebooks, technical notebooks. Even in your shack, if you change the configuration, just jot it down somewhere. If you're fixing something, jot it down somewhere. Like I said, way down the road, you might not remember the steps you took to prevent something from happening. So those were your 10 troubleshooting tips. And like I said, that was the compliments of www.troubleshooters.com. The link will be in the show notes on our podcast website, so you guys can check them out for yourself. Or you can just email me. You can email me at voip@southcars.com, and I will gladly make this document available to you. If you're listening via podcast, you can email us at info@waveguides.ca. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum, home of the Waveguides podcast, and we've been troubleshooting tonight. This time, we'll see if there's any check-ins, anybody would like to come aboard, share some tips and tricks that you might know that I haven't mentioned, share some of your troubleshooting experience, share some of your victories, share some of your most frustrating fixes. Come on aboard and tell me a little bit of what you guys do to fix the stuff in your shack or where you work.
Six Victor.
Welcome aboard, Six Victor.
Thank you, Pete. KY6V. You had me smiling from ear to ear on your last comments. In our engineering divisions, we had a favorite saying, and we smile from ear to ear when we made it, that the cause of the problem was something that you did with a system last. And that speaks a mouthful. Before you wind it up, I've got some additional comments that I'd like to put in, but I don't want to monopolize things, sir. KY6V, over.
You're more than welcome. This is an open forum, and no one is monopolizing anything. Not yet, anyways. And when they do, we have the power to mute them. Hi. So, no, go ahead, Gordon. We're happy to entertain your announcements.
Well, thank you, kind sir. KY6V here. I just wanted to put a general comment over everything you've discussed. Very, very well done. You know, it's been my opinion that common sense plays an awful lot into this troubleshooting business. And having a general awareness of how the apparatus that you're working on aids your troubleshooting business. And I don't mean you have to know everything down to the component level, but if you're into a receiver, as an example, and it's got a problem, you have to know that there's a number of stages that could go defective, all doing different things. The bottom line, in my humble opinion, is troubleshooting by elimination. If you have somewhat of an understanding of how this piece of apparatus works, and you can rule out what is obvious that is working, it gets you quicker to the area that is not working, such as the dial lights on your LCD display are working, your power supply is probably working, you know, and so you can eliminate all of that kind of stuff immediately and start going from there. Number two on my comments, I would appreciate, when you have the time, Pete, if you would give me the proper spelling of these Russian words. I know what they mean. I've written them down in phonetics. I'm sure I haven't spelt them correctly. And I'd like to have the opportunity to post that on the breaking news on our website. That's number one, or number two. Number three, if I'm counting this correctly, I assume that you're recording. Do I need to post? I am recording also. Will I need to post, or can I back off on that? There was something else that was on my mind here. Oh, the evening's presentation that you've been quoting, can you give me a URL address that I can pull that up? I'd like to make that as a addendum to the Back to Basics. I think it's excellent. Maybe a little wordy, but excellent. And let's see, what else did I have on my mind? You've got an update on the server, so I think we're there, sir. Back to you, Pete, KY6V, over.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll make sure that I forward that to you, Gordon. And I, like I said, if anybody wants a copy, all you need to do is email me either at voip@southcars.com or at info@waveguides.ca, and I'll be happy to forward that. And they will also be found on the show notes page of tonight's episode, so it will be available to all. So yes, I will be more than happy to do that. And thanks for being there. I appreciate it. Yeah, the writing is interesting. The phonetics is also how I write it. My Cyrillic alphabet is I'm out of practice in my Cyrillic letters. I had the opportunity to work in Russia many years ago and picked up a little bit as I went, and it's a language that I really enjoy listening to Russian. I think it's a great, great language, and the Eurasian Net and Slav and his family have given me a taste of wanting to relearn it, and I think I have the opportunity to do so now. I will do, gentlemen. You will have that information shortly. Michael, KD0CDQ has rejoined us. Would you like to check in at this time, Michael?
Yes, I don't know what happened there. What I was trying to get across is that we should not miss this opportunity to mention the Morse code, international Morse code training that SCARS is going to be presenting in a few weeks. If any of you are interested, we're going to have another venture. Our venture will be into Morse code with Gordon leading us on our path. I don't want to miss on that. Matter of fact, while I was listening to you, Pete, I am also doing my newsletter, my local newsletter, and I've just included the information on the Echolink CW project. So if anybody in the Midwest here is interested, who knows, you might get some candidates here that want to take it. But we're also having a class starting here this Saturday, but some people may rather take on Echolink, some folks that can't get out in this bitter cold weather. That's all I have for y'all. And I think there was a voice of an angel that came in earlier. This is KD0CDQ. Back to you, Pete, back in Quebec.
With that being said, is there anybody else who'd like to check in at this time? My name's Pete, VE2XBL. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum, home of the Wave Guides podcast, and the mics are open. Welcome aboard.
This is KD0CDQ with a comment, if I could, Pete.
Absolutely, Michael. Always welcome. Welcome back.
Next Thursday night on the TNT, I believe I'm up. I believe I'm up, and my plan is to do the origins of ham. I've got some interesting stories, some true, some just fables, about some of the origins of ham, some of the things that have come along to the present, and God knows where they came from, but the Internet knows also, so I found a few little hints. That's what the plan is for next Thursday, if it's okay with you, Pete. This is KD0CDQ. Back to you.
Well, Michael, thanks. I was actually just getting to that, so your timing is impeccable. That is an excellent topic. It's an excellent subject, and I think our listeners will enjoy the origins of ham. And yeah, I've done a little bit of research on that, and there's a lot of facts. There's probably a lot more fiction, urban legends, as it were, and some can't be confirmed, so they could be true or they could be not. So I very much look forward to hearing what you have to say. Indeed, as Michael said, he'll be up next week. He'll be hosting the January 20th episode. Michael being KD0CDQ out of Kansas, and the week after that, our host will be David, KD8HQU, will be hosting our open forum roundtable discussion, and we'll have a panel. It'll be the triumphant return of the open forum. We haven't done it in a while, and we'll have a whole slew of members. If you want to be on the panel, drop me a line. You'll be more than welcome to do so. The more the merrier, and that's the forum where we throw around a whole bunch of ideas and questions, and we discuss them in a roundtable fashion. So that'll be good. And starting on February 3rd, as mentioned earlier, will be the Back to Basics course, part one of that, co-hosted by Gordon, KY6V, and Tony, KJ4PUJ. That will be basically everything you need to know to get involved in ham radio. So for our SWLs, it'll be especially pertinent. But even for those who want a refresher course in the basics of ham radio and electronics, I've read the material, and it's a good source document, whether you be novice or extra advanced, and I don't mean that as a mix of that was a dumb play on word on my part. That didn't mean an extra and advanced mixed together, but if you're a super duper technician, going back to your basics is still a good idea, and the basics, the base of your theory never changes, and if you have a good knowledge of your basics, then everything else around it is gravy. February 10th, we'll have a very special Valentine's Day show hosted by Kathy, K6SUN, and she'll be talking about the women in ham radio. So that's what's happening over the next couple of weeks. So we hope that you guys can join us in huge numbers, either live or via podcast. Either way is good. The fun part about listening live is that you can interject and participate. It makes it more interactive. On the podcast side, we also have a blog, so that's interactive as well. Does anybody else have anything that they'd like to interject at this time before we start to wrap it up? My name's Pete, V2XPL, and the mics are open. All right, that was Sharon sneezing in the background. I don't know if the mic is good enough that you might have heard that. And Sharon is bringing me some yummy smoky bacon chips. Are those ever good? Hi, Sharon. She's waving. She's got a mouthful of chips. She doesn't want to talk. She's not rude like me. I'm talking to you guys with a mouthful of chips, but she's a lot more polite than I am. All right. Before we finish, I'd like to invite y'all to send us your input, your ideas, your suggestions, or if you have a topic of interest that you'd like to present. I'd like to invite you guys to send me those suggestions. You could write us at voip@southcars.com, or you could also reach us at info@waveguides.ca. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for being here tonight, all of our live listeners. We got a slew of stations connected. Here I am scrambling to refresh my list there. We had as many as 23 connected tonight, not 23 individuals, but a mix of individuals, links, and repeaters. So I'd like to thank all y'all for connecting to us tonight. I'd like to plug our various websites. You can get information about our HF operation, South Cars being an operation that's been around for about 40 years. You can get info from our HF operation at, I was going to say VOIP, but that's not true. You can get information about our HF operation at southcars.com. That's www.southcars.com. Our VOIP side, voip.southcars.com. And if you want to check out the podcast website, that's waveguides.ca. So that's it for that. And let's see. I think that's all on my list. So I'll ask for one last round of check-ins. If anybody else would like to say anything, this will be the last call. Welcome aboard to the TNT Open Forum.
Two.
Go ahead, Craig. Sorry, I didn't notice the text box. Welcome back.
No problem at all, Pete. Just going to interject one comment. It may add a little bit of humor, not much. But sort of following Gordon's comment about once you're deep into the process of solving something, sometimes it's good to take a break. Since we're closing up and we're about to close the net and possibly go to bed, a similar comment is to go sleep on it. Many times in trying to solve a problem, I've gone to sleep and woken up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and said, I've got it. So on that note, I'll say go sleep on it and 73 WE2Q. Bye.
Well, very good, Craig. WE2Q, this is V2XPL. Thanks for interjecting. Indeed, sleep. Sleep should be in there. This, like I said, this list is certainly not exhaustive, and we could add a whole bunch more. Gordon mentioned that it was pretty wordy. Well, it's a lot more wordy than the article is a lot more wordy than what I presented. I could have been here for another hour if I read it verbatim. It's a good, complete article, and I recommend it to everyone. But yeah, sleep is key. You are much more productive when your mind is fresh. So if you can sleep on it, that's a good thing. I personally find that I solve a lot of my problems at work, strangely, when I'm in the shower. I have problems that I can't solve during the day. I kind of leave them there. Nighttime, I like to take a shower at night before I go to bed, in case you care. And, you know, I guess because it's nice hot water pouring over your body, you're relaxing, you kind of start to go over things, and it's like, you know, the light bulb moment. Well, I always seem to have my light bulb moments in the shower, so I thought I'd share that with you guys. Don't imagine it, really. I don't need you guys imagining me in the shower.
Six, Victor P.
Yeah, go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, before you close, are you okay? Did you record tonight? Do you need me as a secondary input? And while I've got you, let me read your last input I have. It just came in on the hotline out of Michigan. A found accident on the police scanner around the corner. Took out a light pole. That's what happened, and it took a second for the backup power to come aboard. Over.
All right. Roger that. Good to know. And yes, I'm sorry. I didn't answer the question the first time you asked it. Yes, I was recording. I am recording. Yeah, I'm recording. I had to double check there. I had to take a double take. I wasn't sure. I actually started recording it about half an hour before and then realized, no, I don't need to record this long. And then I thought, I shouldn't turn it off because then I'll forget. And, you know, I often in the past have been guilty of starting the recording about 6 or 7 minutes into the show, but I'm much better now. Thanks to Post-its. Post-its have saved my recordings. So I know we are good. Thanks for doing a backup recording, however, but unless I need it, I should be fine, and I'll hopefully have this posted in the next 48 hours. So before I shut down, let me see if there's anybody else who'd like to check in. My name's Pete, once again, V2XPL, and you're listening to the TNT Open Forum. The mics are open. All right. Well, thanks to everyone for being here. 7-3. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, and the Waveguides Podcast. VOIP net schedules, because we have more than one net. We have nets throughout the week, so our schedules can be found on our website, voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been Pete. My call sign, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima, and I've been coming to you from beautiful Montreal, Canada. Beautiful but cold tonight. We're at minus 11 now, about 12 degrees Celsius. I'll finish up by saying 7-3. I'm closing this VOIP session and returning the server to regular amateur radio use. Thanks for being there. This net is now closed, and we'll talk to you all next week. Good night, everyone.